Soccer Today is powered by Spin Media. From podcast to video production, visit spinmediadigitalsolutions.com and bring your content to the next level.
Ya lo hace. Pierna derecha, directo al arco. ¡Golazo! ¡Golazo! ¡Golazo!
The world of football with a soccer perspective. This is Soccer Today with Dwayne Mullins and Kevin Larame, live on the Sports Podcasting Network.
Good day, good night, and welcome to Soccer Today for Thursday, August 4th, 2022. Podcast only today, flying solo as this is recording when it's still dark outside. Full disclosure, over the last couple of days, over the last couple of weeks, we haven't put out as many shows as normal. I'll be fully honest with you, I've been a bit busy on my professional life, and it has been a bit difficult to find time to juggle everything, so 5 a.m. recordings it is sometimes, and here we are to break down all the reviews and games and actions from a crazy midweek, a crazy weather delay in Columbus that saw a CF Montreal team, a little Goonies attitude, never say die, coming back from behind and winning away, winning in Columbus last night. First defeat in 10 games now for Columbus. Columbus hasn't lost since the month of May. It was on a 9 straight games undefeated streak. And now Montreal has won its 6th game on opponents' territories. We're also going to break down, of course, Charlotte's big win against DC United. Last night, Portland was playing against Nashville, and San Jose was playing against Miami. Miami is the next opponent of CF Montreal on Saturday. So let's go without further ado and break down the result and the game last night in Columbus. It did not start well. And let's start with the starting 11 here. A lot of changes for Montreal. 7 changes in the starting 11 for CF Montreal. That's a Gabriel Corbeau start instead of Kamal Miller, with a back line of Gabriel Corbeau, Rudy Camacho, and Joel Waterman. Zachary Broguillard was inserted into the starting 11 with Mathieu Chouanière, Joachim Torres, and Kai Camara. Sébastien Breza in net, and that's your 7th change for CF Montreal against a full-strength Columbus Crew team that was firing on all cylinders and early on. I was looking at Cucho Hernandez, and I was scared. I had a little bit of PTSD of players like Joseph Martinez and other players just carving the sidelines, carving defenders, bringing the ball and being a threat all first half. And the more the game continued, the less Cucho was a threat. But even late in the game, he saw a couple of looks on goal, and I was quite worried, and it never looked like Montreal was going to be in this one. And of course, the gods intervened. Lightning. First of all, here's a little behind the scenes. We're there, getting into production and working on the game and making sure everything goes well. And we're in communication with Columbus. And I hear Lightning about 15 miles from the stadium. Like, all right. This is going to go differently than we expect. And then Lightning inside the 8 miles radius, 15 kilometers. And then, of course, the delay. And this was the second longest delay Montreal ever had in MLS for a weather delay. The longest one was in Miami last year, a 2 hours and 18 minute delay in Miami last year. I remember that, not necessarily fondly because it was a long day at work, but I do remember that last year. And I also remember last night, a few years ago, at Tatsuputo, there was about a 45 minute long weather delay that saw a DJ's claim to fame. The DJ a few years ago at Tatsuputo decided to play only songs that had the word rain in it. So you went from Purple Rain to Have You Ever Seen the Wayne, the Rain by CCR, all the way to Toto by Africa and other great songs like this that were weather related and made for a fun time at Tatsuputo. But after an hour and 8 minutes or so of interruption, the game restarted, and players took the field again. And at that point, Montreal was down a goal. It was not winning on any of what you would say the statistics, and they were down the crosses. They were, I think it was 11-4 at halftime for the crosses, and it finished 24-14. And this was a big point of contention for me during this game, is because I was like, look, and I was actually talking to my colleague, Patrice Bernier, and I was asking him one question. I was like, Patrice, the amount of crosses that we're seeing here is very low. They're playing with Kamara. They should be more involved in their system when Kamara is playing up top to center the ball, to put the ball in the box and trying to hit Kamara's head. A little bit of foreshadowing for what's to come. And then, at around the 80-something minute or so, there was a great play by Alistair Johnston. He was able to send the ball into the box on a nice cross. Johnston, Kyoto, they both came in later in the game at the 64th minute at the same time as Samuel Piet. And the game really changed when Johnston and Kyoto came in. And you saw the real CF Montreal, you saw the real attack, the real danger of one of the most potent attack in the entire league. But Kyoto and Johnston helped a lot. And Johnston was able to send that ball sailing through the air, through lower.com field atmosphere, and goes right into the box for the 134th time in his career. Kai Kamara put the ball in the back of the net. It's in the net, and Kamara is now tied third all time in Major League Soccer's history for the goal scored with 134. He tied Jeff Cunningham, and he's also close of getting that third spot all to himself. Landon Donovan is still ahead at 145, and way ahead is Chris Wondolowski at 171. But can Kai Kamara catch Landon Donovan all the way to the end of next year? That's a question now. Can he become second all-time? But right now, he is tied for third all-time with Jeff Cunningham, who, if you're wondering who is Jeff Cunningham, he had a pretty long career in Major League Soccer. From 1998 to 2011, he played 64 games for the Columbus Crew, 12 for the Colorado Rapids, 19 for Salt Lake, 6 for Toronto FC in its early days, and ended his career in MLS with FC Dallas. Kai Kamara soon will be the sole proprietor of the third rank in MLS goal scoring history. But let's go back to last night in Columbus after this big tie game at 1-1. It was not over yet. A Canadian defender wanting to immerse himself into the lore of CF Montreal. Down 1-0 to tied 1-1. Joel Waterman did an amazing play, a looping pass from almost midfield by Lassi Lapalainen, controlled, big bounce, put on his right foot, cut back in, shoots on net, and the Canadian defender scores his third goal of the season. Dare I say, maybe the biggest bargain in CF Montreal's history. What they paid for him, for Cavalry, a couple years ago, is all worth it. He's giving it more and more and more every single week. Nobody's talking about Joel Waterman as a defensive liability, as a liability, or anything. He's an offensive powerhouse, the Canadian defender, and in my mind, one of the best upcoming defender in Major League Soccer, and yes, eventually, he will be part of the national team conversation. Will it be in time for Qatar? We'll see. Time's getting short, and he's putting his body of work to task right now. We'll see if it's enough to convince the powers that be in time. But right now, when we're seeing Joel Waterman playing lights out, maybe, dare I say, the best Canadian Premier League alumni since its inception. Maybe the one big breakthrough of a KPL player. This is it. This is what that league was created for. And Joel Waterman is a perfect example. Mohamed Farsi going from the KPL to MLS Next 2 Pro to MLS Next Pro to MLS is great. But Joel Waterman did not have that stepping stone of the MLS Next Pro League. Joel Waterman went from the CPL to CF Montreal. There's a big gap, and he was able to bridge that gap and now is a starter almost every single game in a back line. He's not the one who is taken off when he needs to reshuffle. He's the one who's been put out of position to play from the right side of the center back to the left side of the center back, depending if it's playing Miller or Corbo. Corbo better on the right side of the three-man back line, and Miller likes the left side. Waterman is versatile. Mr. Versatile Joel Waterman. Of course, that title could be shared with a couple players for CF Montreal. Lassie Lapalainen and Mathieu Choignard would argue that they deserve that title. But for CF Montreal, this is a big win. This is four straight games without a loss. And with this win, Montreal's finds themselves already still in conversation for not just a playoff spot, but at this point, it's looking like a home playoff spot for CF Montreal. So when we look at the standings, 45 points top of the East for Philadelphia, followed by New York City, 42 points. Montreal is third with 39 points, 23 games played. And they're 3 points ahead of New York, who is fourth and lost last weekend. Orlando fifth, Columbus sixth, and Charlotte seven with their win last night. They climbed all the way back. And Miami, with a big win yesterday, is back in eighth spot for the Flamingos, who will be Montreal's next opponent next Saturday at Stade Saputo. And we'll see if Gonzalo Higuain is available, having had a big knock on the head and being substituted out, being a little bit loopy, as we could say, a little bit dazed and confused. Will he be available, or is that just a title of a movie? That's a question. It is a title of a movie, but Dazed and Confused was also how Gonzalo felt leaving the game. Will he be available for Miami this Saturday against Montreal? That's a question. Pozuelo's return to La Belle Province after playing with Toronto for a few years now comes with Miami to play against Montreal. But let's just put a bow on Montreal's game last night. Let's look at a couple of great results here in the statistical department. Montreal, 56% possession, and overall, the last few games, Montreal has had their share of the possession more often than not. That does explain their success, but they are set up to play with the ball and play better with the ball than without it, and we're seeing this very well. Montreal had a difficult first half with no shots on goal, on target, but that was corrected, and they ended the game with 10-4, 10 shots, 4 on goal, 9 shots for Columbus, 3 on target for the Crew. One important for me statistic here is the passing accuracy. Montreal finished at 88%, which is pretty high. And 88% is the passing accuracy of Joel Waterman also this season so far. That's the best of CF Montreal. Top of the line, top of the class, Joel Waterman. Corners were dominated by Montreal once again. And that is an indication of the pressure put on by Montreal on Columbus late in the game that skewed that statistical number. And the last number I want to talk about, you know, I could do this all day. I could talk about statistics all day. I think is very, very interesting that the crosses were 24-14 for Montreal. And that is indicative of an adjustment during the game by Wilfried Nancy. This wasn't the case at the beginning, and I think we're seeing Wilfried Nancy adjust and play very well, and this was a gamble last night. It was a gamble for CF Montreal to play with this starting 11 against Columbus, and the gamble paid off. We'll take a short break. When we get back, we'll break down all the other results in Major League Soccer from midweek.
You are listening to Soccer Today. Follow us on Twitter at Soccer Today SPN and like our Facebook page, facebook.com/sports podcasting network.
And we're back on Soccer Today. A little shout out to our Patreon. If you'd like to support us, you can do so financially by going to patreon.com/twosolidudes. And with your contribution, you get access to the Two Solid Dudes Soccer Podcast, and you can get mentioned on this show if you click on the shout out tier, from Gonzalo to Sean to Blue Collar Dan to all our great Patreon supporters in the shout out tier. Thank you very much for your support, and you can join them by going to patreon.com/twosoliddudes. All right, let's take a trip down south. Actually, let's take a trip down west. Let's go to the wild, wild west of Northern California, San Jose, Miami. And it finished 1-0 for Miami. The goal at the 12th minute stood, and this was the only goal of the game. A win, a counter-attack type win by Miami. 62% possession for San Jose, 38 for Miami. 22 shots, 5 on target for San Jose. San Jose tried and tried. They're on the up and up. They're playing a bit better, but not necessarily playing well. There's a big difference between playing better and playing well. They're figuring out stuff, but they're still way too far and in a talent deficit. And I would say in a cohesion deficit to be able to do anything in Major League Soccer. And it's becoming too little too late for the Earthquakes. 11 shots, 6 on target for Miami. And that's what's it's interesting. A total passes that it's very low, in the low 300s, 339. Passing accuracy, a meager 76% here. Very bad. They were losing the corners and losing the crosses battle. Those are things that bode well for Montreal on Saturday. So yes, Miami is not necessarily good, but Miami, stylistically speaking, they're gonna be in big trouble playing against this Montreal team that will have arrested players, and it will have a Georgi Mihailovic that is hungry, very hungry, and a little bit angry. So I don't want to play against Georgi right now. Miami will figure that out quickly enough on Saturday at Satsapucho. But big win for them midweek that see them climb all the way to 8th in the Eastern Conference standings, 29 points, same as Charlotte, but behind with the amount of wins. They have 8 wins and Charlotte has 9, and that is your tiebreaker, the first one in the Eastern Conference standings. So let's just continue our breakdown of the results in Major League Soccer. Midweek, we've talked about Columbus and Montreal. We've talked about San Jose and Miami, who saw a great game. And we can talk about who scored the goal too. It's Jean Mota, who's having a pretty good season so far, Mota, with Miami. And he will be one to watch against Montreal next weekend. Now let's move to Charlotte, a place where there was some weather delay last Saturday. And this time around, no delay. But there was an own goal. Steven Birnbaum scored in his own goal at the 13th minute. Carroll scored his second goal in 3 games and his 6th this season. Carroll finally finding the back of the net. Carroll, I just like to say Carroll, so I'm going to say Carroll a couple times. Carroll is doing really well. Mr. Swiderski, 64th minute, 2-0. And just a couple minutes later, Quinn McNeil, was able to make it 3-0. And Charlotte with a big emphatic victory, putting Wayne Rooney back down to earth after his winning debut last weekend. And let's not forget, the winning debut came with 2 goals scored in extra time for DC United. But when we look a couple of numbers here, and I want to put into perspective, so it's time to get some coffee, to light back down a little bit, and get ready to break it down, statistically speaking. DC United was lucky to win last week, and they're not good. They're going to struggle. Wayne Rooney's there as the shield. He's there to protect the organization. He's the aura shield. He'll bounce. He's going to get a few months of leeway. And next year, they're going to start to judge. DC's in the dump this season. And they're going to stay there. 44% possession. 9 shots, only 1 on target. That does not bode well. 82% passing accuracy. Not bad. Corners, not enough. Crosses, great. But you got to put heads on corners. What I think is very bad is you're having a bad defensive game. You're allowed 3 goals, and on top of it, you can't clear your box. Only 8 clearances for DC. That's something that becomes a problem if it's not done enough. Also, they're lucky to only have 3 goals scored. Their goalie had to make 6 saves last night. That is a lot to ask for a goalkeeper to have 6 interventions that stopped goals. That's a very big number when we look at DC from last night. And they need to be better. DC needs to be better, and we'll see how that changes. Expected goals, well, that's where you see a big difference. 2.2 for Charlotte, 0.5 for DC United. Rooney is there as a manager. He can't score. And the question is, when you have a player that was known for his talent, not his work ethic, not his tactical genius, or his physical prowess, Wayne Rooney had a big amount of talent and coasted on his talent throughout his career. I don't expect Wayne Rooney to be able to coach a player how to score, to coach up a player. Sometimes, and maybe I'm wrong, maybe he has that communication skill and I'm not aware, but I always use the hockey analogy. When Gretzky was a coach, he was looking at players like, do this like this. And the players were like, what do you mean like this? I'm not you. I don't know what you know. And it's a bit of this. It's hard for a manager like Wayne Rooney to maybe ask his players to do like he would. Because for him, it's just do it. Let's do it. And it's not necessarily the same for players that are playing in Major League Soccer for DC United. But big loss last night for DC United, which leaves us with one game to break down. Portland, Nashville, and for the second straight game, Teal Bunbury finds the back of the net for Nashville. Teal Bunbury. Canadian origins and decided to represent the American internationally. How did that go for you? Always a bit better, I know. You know, bitterness is okay sometimes. It's good. It tastes really good in coffee. Teal Bunbury scored at the 20th minute. And of course, they couldn't keep the clean sheet. I had 3 Nashville players. Good thing my fantasy was okay because of Nicholas Odero in the week. Still undefeated in 11 weeks in my fantasy. Not bad. We'll keep it going. But this victory, or this lack thereof victory in this one, really is a late one. Portland won, Nashville won, 54% possession to 46. Shots pretty equal, 17-3, 14-5 on targets. It's not bad. It's a game that is a 1-1 draw. It's beneficial for both, really. And when we look at the standings in the Eastern and the Western Conference after this one, both Nashville and Portland don't lose anything, but don't gain really anything with their draw. Nashville is 6th now in the standings with 33 points. Portland is 8th with 32 points. With a win, they would have climbed all the way to 6th in the Western Conference, and maybe even higher because of the differential they have over Salt Lake. So with a win, Portland would have been 5th, and with a win, Nashville would have been 3rd. But a draw, see both teams negate their advances, and see LAFC, Austin, Minnesota, and Dallas being your top 4 teams in the Western Conference. Dallas, who acquired a big name yesterday, big trade in Major League Soccer. There's been crazy rumors over the last few hours, but yesterday, and that is official, a legit blockbuster. Once again, for the second time in 8 months, Sebastian Legit gets traded. And now, it is from New England to Dallas. And the price tag was $600,000 of allocation from Dallas to New England. New England repairing the bad offseason decisions they took of signing Josie, Omar Gonzalez, that trade. They lost money. Well, they kind of made $100,000 on that trade, kind of. They don't have to pay a couple of the bonuses. With him being traded right now, instead of being 1.1 like it was announced, it's like 500, then they sold him for 600. So they kind of make, according to my calculations and to a couple people in this field, they kind of made $100,000 of allocation with the Legit trade. So New England actually made money and kept him for a little bit. They sold him before it was time that maybe some of the bonuses would hit, and now they won't. And it was up to 1.1, but at the end of the day, it's more close to 500 with the performance he had this year. So New England is able to salvage some finances here. The transfer of Adam Buxa, the loan of Jozy Altidore. You can expect Omar Gonzalez to be taken off the books over the next couple of weeks also. And when you put all those things together, this is a quite big disavow to all the moves made by Bruce Arena in the offseason. Maybe they need somebody else to steer the ship. Now, the managership can still be steered by Bruce Arena. But in this day and age, a sporting director with knowledge of how things are in MLS right now and how to properly build your roster financially, find bargains, that's what you need. You can't overexpend. Can't spend too much. And that's what's been happening with New England. And we're seeing the reactions to those big money spend that did not pan out last offseason. And we're seeing this now with the moves made by New England. And that was pretty interesting, but we'll see how that changes. New England is 11th right now at the bottom. Well, they're not the bottom, but they're close to it. And also 2 points away from a playoff spot at this point. So it's not all bad news, but I think we're seeing a bit of reaction here from New England moving forward. They know that the window of having a player like Carlos Gil is closing. It's now or never. They need to produce results. Last year was close, best ever regular season, but we're seeing differences this year as they're not able to find the back of the net like they were last year. And Buxa and Boo hasn't been the same this year. Injured, not the same service. He doesn't have the same playing partners. And we're seeing a big difference. And Carlos Gil just can't do everything by himself. And that's the thing, because Carlos Gil is having still a good season. He's got 11 assists. Top of the league, 11 assists with Acosta and Kai Wagner. That's including secondary assists in Major League Soccer. And he's top of the league for the key passes with 73. Like, almost 20 in front of the second one. Reynoso is second with 58. Luciano Acosta third with 57. And Zelarayan fourth with 50. Carlos Gil is top of the league for the key passes with 73. Key passes are passes that puts a player into the perfect position that he can move on and assist or do a goal from there to key pass in the build-up of a play. 73 of those were made by Carlos Gil this season. And that is top of the league. He's having a good season. New England is now or never for them. Let's not forget to mention Gaga Slonina, the young 18-year-old goalkeeper for Chicago, has signed for Chelsea and will be playing for the Blues next year. He's on loan now back to Chicago for the rest of the Major League Soccer season. That is an important move, and I am happy to see a young goalkeeper joining the Blues moving forward. Let's look at a couple of leaders in the league before we say goodnight for today, or good morning, depending on when you're listening to the show. For me, it's like 5 a.m., so it is good night. Austin, top of the league for the amount of goals scored, 47 in front of LAFC with 44, New York City with 41, and Portland 40, the best stack in the league for now, is Austin, followed by LAFC. The West is strong. In the assist, teams playing like a real team. Austin, top of the league with 53. Assists, followed by Philadelphia and Montreal, third with 42 assists. Very interesting. We've talked about the key passes, which would tell you who plays really in team. Atlanta, top of the league with 244 key passes. It's a shame that they suck, and that doesn't mean anything, the fact that they're on top of that category. Of course, goal scorer this year, Sebastian Driussi, top of the league with 14. Tatis still in the conversation with 13, but he's gone. So I'm going to blow past him very quickly. Brandon Vasquez, who will be playing at the All-Star game this next week, is third with 13. And Jérémy Ebobissé of San Jose is fourth with 12 goals scored. That is your top four goal scorers in Major League Soccer as of August 4th, 2022. We hope you enjoyed today's show. We'll be back with more video shows as soon as possible. Mondays and Fridays on videos, probably all the time. But with busy schedule, baby on the way soon, we'll see how things evolve. But I hope you enjoyed today's show. Apologies for the lack of co-hosts also today. 5 a.m. in the morning is not necessarily easy to, but you know, you got to do what you got to do. And I hope you enjoy today's show reviewing midweek action in Major League Soccer. But as always, until next time, you can follow me on social media at 24th at Kev Larme, this show at Soccer Today. And you can find the podcast version of this show everywhere you find your favorite podcast. And as always, until next time, have a great soccer.
You can find the podcast version of all the shows we do on iTunes, Apple Podcast, Google Play Store, TuneIn Radio, iHeartRadio, and anywhere you get your podcasts.